A warning for our viewers out there, this podcast is in no way affiliated with MasterChef, its contestants, or the production. Hey guys, this is Chef Kelsey Murphy from MasterChef Season 11, and I am here with my filmmaker friend, Pete Ferrero. We are here to chat about MasterChef Season 13, The United Tastes of America. Each week, we're going to break down every single episode, chatting about the contestants, their dishes, and all of the drama that is sure to come. Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. This is Kelsey. I am here with my good friend Pete, and we are here to break down the latest episode of MasterChef. We have a large mystery box challenge right ahead of us, and we are ready to dive in. There were lots of puns in that one.
Yeah, you're getting better and better at that stuff, at the puns.
I like the puns.
Hey, you know what was cool? Last week, well, I say this like last week, it was like a few days ago, we talked to Jennifer.
Yes.
How did you like that? Talking to someone that's not eliminated.
I loved it. I loved hearing the inside scoop about what really happened during the challenges and I shouldn't say real time, but break it down in more real time for us to give us insight of what didn't get showed on air and give a really good perspective about why certain things that did get aired may or may not have happened.
I've had a couple of days to think about all of it. It is good to have that perspective. I do not have a more favorable position on the person that was eliminated last week.
Yeah,
I feel like, and I've also have seen an interview with him. I don't know. And I just feel like, okay, I got it. Whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a very interesting interview for all of our listeners to go watch specifically this interview. You can watch it on Yahoo, right?
Yahoo Gold Derby or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would recommend everybody go watch it.
The thing is to me, and we'll get into this episode, is like he's being painted as a sympathetic, I'm so sorry character, you know. Oh, it's bad. It's awful that happened. But he doesn't really come across that way in that interview. It's more like, ha ha.
Very much so. It's a very strange.
And maybe it's just his personality.
Exchange.
I mean, I feel terrible for his panic attack and all that. We're talking about Charles. But we have to move on off of that now. He's no longer on the show. We need to focus on this giant mystery box challenge. They go in and the contestants come in. There's giant mystery boxes all spread out through the kitchen, or is it the kitchen? I don't know.
Yeah, through the MasterChef kitchen. And I didn't realize how large they were until they showed Lizzie behind one of them. And it's like the best 20 seconds of television because the little girl is just like stuck behind this mystery box and she's so adorable.
Yes, and Gordon always has fun with something like that. But underneath the boxes are everybody gets a different fish.
Yes.
Did you have one fish in particular that you would have been like, I definitely want John Dory or whatever?
So yes, I would have loved the halibut and or the salmon, obviously, but I kind of take the route of Kennedy here where I would have wanted the sardines, something that I'm not used to working with. I also, or the branzino, honestly, if you get the branzino or the sardines, you don't have to fillet it. So huge advantage there.
Right off the bat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, and to just like whole roast a branzino. Ugh, that would have been a dream. To just display that for the judges, like you'd have won, like hands down.
I do feel like one of the biggest parts of this challenge is filleting a fish.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, I wanted them to create some more drama around that. We didn't really see a ton of drama hyped up from, you know, someone completely butchering.
Well, I mean, there looked like there was some hack jobs, but we weren't.
But they didn't address them. I was like, well, throw somebody under the bus for this. Come on.
Yes, totally.
I was impressed with your girl, Bryn.
Yes.
In her skin. There's no way I would have gotten those beautiful fillets out of a John Dory.
Can I be honest? Like, I've had John Dory and I don't recall it. You know what I mean? It's not like one of those fishes that you're like, I had a John Dory. It was fucking incredible. Like, I mean, I've never said that in my life.
No.
You know?
And I guess you're not even supposed to fillet it like that.
Yeah. Well, I do have that note that how impressed I was with her fillet. Like, for someone that didn't know that particular fish to come out with the fillet looking like it did, I was like, whoa. What?
Yeah. It looked like very clean.
Like, it looked like exactly what it's supposed to look like. I mean, on television anyway. But MD and Sav earned the immunity and the magical power. They call it the advantage. I call it the magical power to pick who is getting what fish. Was that a good... Do you think that was
yeah,
a good...
Yeah, I love it. I love the swift. I like... Or switch or swap.
I thought you said I love the Swift, and I was like, me too.
Me too.
Meaning Taylor yes. Swift, right?
Me yeah. too.
Yeah.
yeah, I think it's a really fun thing, and I love the two of them. The two of them together are just really fun to watch.
Like, they're I want to so see them on The Amazing Race for some odd reason.
Yes. That would be awesome. And MD is so cute, and I love how she's like, we're not going to be nice today. I'm feeling a mood today. Like, right. This is how I feel today. I'm going to make it play hardball.
Reagan's allergic to fish.
Ugh, like terrifying. And I think highly allergic. I mean, obviously the
I
way
mean,
she was
the
handling,
mask
like
and
she
gloves,
was masked up and gloves and
all the shit. But I'm always like with this, it's like, and they're like, oh, Reagan's allergic. Are you serious? Like, come on. Stop. Like, everybody knows that she's allergic.
Right.
You know how many people have been, you know, behind the scenes, know that information. And here we have a giant fish challenge. Like, don't you feel it's unsafe to put what is the goal here? To see Reagan collapse?
Right. You're like, could we have not casted somebody who's like, or just changed the challenge, you know, like,
you know, or someone who's not as highly allergic to fish.
Right.
Right. You know, that can taste it and maybe have a slight.
There's always one every season.
You know, she, because Reagan presents it as she can die at any moment. From,
right.
And yeah, I mean,
and then of course,
that have
not,
that.
I mean, I guess she did get handed an easier fish, but she got handed the largest fish.
Yes.
So now the chances of it like touching her and getting like the oils getting on her are so much higher. I'm like, well, she probably would have been better with the sardines that she just had to pop in a fryer.
I'm sure that they asked her many times, are you okay with the fish challenge? Are you okay with the fish challenge? But there has to become a responsibility on the production, on any production's end at some point too, to be like, do we want to assume the risk that Reagan might die on set?
I'm sure Reagan ended up assuming that risk at some point.
Oh, no doubt.
With the signature, I'm sure.
She signed that one away.
Yeah. There was no confusion with production or HR on that one.
Wait, so have you ever had John Dory?
I don't think I have.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
And they touched on that it's usually served at very high-end restaurants, and it's not usually filleted. It's usually served as whole or in some
I was
sort of
at
different
a restaurant. This is a true story. I was at a restaurant. This is the only way I know John Dory. I don't know if this is interesting or funny or humorous, but we were sitting at the restaurant. Actually, it's a restaurant that's very popular in New York City. And it was a very expensive restaurant, and there was a couple sitting next to us, and he was very highfalutin, a very like took his life very seriously. You could tell a professional type, and they brought the John Dory to the table, and the man spilt his drink. He got up to try to collect the drink that he spilled and knocked the John Dory off the table. So that's about all I know about John Dory.
Oh my goodness.
That a man had a huge incident in his John Dory, and he said, not the John Dory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, what a scene. Yeah, it's obviously must be an expensive and high end fish.
Yes.
So, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it even tastes like. I have no idea. I would have not been really excited if I had gotten that. I'm surprised I didn't even make more of a deal about that.
Kennedy gets salmon at first.
Right.
James gets mackerel. And he called
mackerel.
And And Gordon says, "You put
I'm
the
like, are you
hip
have
hop.
a macaroon?
You hit. We put the hip hop into mackerel or mackerel.
Amazing.
Yeah, Wayne got catfish. Wayne almost seems offended by the idea.
He does seem offended by the idea of catfish. Like, I am way above
like,
this.
How could catfish even be here?
Right. Like, I am not eating or making this bottom feeder. Like, and all the South people are like, dude."
Yes. Arone even says it. Arone's even like, you know, a lot of people in the South would disagree. That was my Arone impression.
Is he Jamaican? Pete's in the middle of doing a silent laugh. He's laughing so hard he can't hear anything.
Yeah, sometimes our laughs get muted here on the show. Have you noticed that?
It's not muted. It's just because we're laughing and we're not making noise.
Oh, I see. Okay, so I'll do more of it.
It's like LOL. When you can't breathe, like.
Grant switches. Oh, they tell Grant he has to switch the mackerel and striped bass.
Yes.
So because Grant has striped bass and he seems excited, and then
yeah, that's like
the mackerel.
Easy one.
Grant feels he has a target on his back. Or I think they feel that. I don't know if Grant feels that.
Yeah, I don't know if Grant feels that, but I think they think. And they're trying to also still kind of play their regions a bit and help the people in their regions.
Which is like, it's over.
Right.
We are not in a team challenge anymore.
Right, we're not in our regions. But obviously,
yeah,
I think they pushed it so hard in the beginning that they're having a hard time like breaking those ties.
Yes. Kennedy, and you mentioned Kennedy and Reagan do swap
yep.
the salmon for the sardines.
See, you did too.
I did. And Sav says that she's looking out for her region mate.
Mm-hmm.
Which again,
yeah, and like, Sav said she's getting quite annoyed with the fact that Kennedy keeps being in the top.
She did say that. How do you feel about Kennedy right now? To me, Kennedy is the favorite.
I think so. I think she's the favorite to win. I think she's shown the most consistency. I think everyone fears her the most.
She also has like a really great personality.
She does have a great personality, but she is starting to come across in the edit a bit.
Confident?
A bit confident.
I love that about her.
Yeah. But confident verging on cocky.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
I see.
A little. I see it a little bit.
People have said that about you when you.
Oh, absolutely. I know they did. Yeah. Which is probably true. Well, I think there's a really hard fine line.
That's what I liked the most about you when you were on MasterChef.
Yeah.
That you were
cool, becoming confidence.
And yes.
I'm okay with
it. I was going to add another C and then decided not to.
Oh, do it.
Cute, I was going to say.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Reagan said if she goes home today, she's going to kick her own ass.
Kick her own ass? Did she say that?
Yes.
Oh.
If I go home, I'm not going to do another impression because they all sound Jamaican, apparently. But if I go home, I'm going to kick my own ass because she's really nervous about this whole fish scenario.
Oh, yeah. I would be, too. I actually felt really bad for her because that's just it's so hard. Not only to fillet it and then get the pieces and then like you can't taste it like that you can work around. It's salmon, you know, like it's pretty forgiving. You can focus on everything else and just place the salmon on it and call it a
I feel fish is one of the hardest things to cook because it could just go but from bones, from filleting to bones to temperature.
Doing,
like there's
doing
so
the
many
skin
things
right, like
there's so many things that can go wrong quickly.
Yes.
This is me as a novice saying this. So
yes. Sav touched on it too. The hating that you don't cook those until the very end. And so there's kind of like no going back.
Right.
You know, like there's no saving it. Like you can't cook it. You're not supposed to cook it until right before you serve it.
Yes.
So it's really hard to. I love cooking seafood. That's like my jam, but.
Colby. I don't think he's ever cooked halibut.
No, I don't think so. It's a slam dunk, I mean, of a fish. It is a bit more tricky. to cook.
Yeah.
It can dry out really fast.
They tell them don't overcook it also.
Yeah, yeah. It dries out really quickly as compared to like sea bass that has a bit more fat content. Halibut can get really dry.
Who were you most nervous for?
I was definitely nervous for Grant once he started explaining the dish.
Yes.
At first I was like, oh, look at him swinging for the fences. And I was like, oh.
Another carcass scenario.
Right. Which.
But I felt he was using the carcass in a smarter way.
I also was kind of like, oh, great idea. And then they like brought it up and I was like, oh, didn't really think about that.
Right.
So I totally see like where his mind was going. And I think that's definitely a acceptable MasterChef mistake. You know, this is where like the difference between like really good home cook and like trained chef kind of comes into play. That like, even I'm like, I thought that could have been a great idea, but I didn't like even realize, oh, that could come out really oily and fatty and, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm like, I've made fish stocks before.
Right.
So anyway, I was even a little bit thrown
off. They harped
on
this.
Yeah. Yeah. One and element, as he was like doing a lot of things.
Yes. I mean, clearly all over the place. Like he's trying to elevate, but he's over elevating in a way.
Right.
Right. He's overthinking the elevation of like, you know, I have to stand out. I have to do something cool that the judges are going to like respect, understand. And he overcomplicated something that could be very simple. You know,
I would have loved to see him do like a raw presentation.
Nobody did that.
I know. I was really hoping someone would and like take that risk, because they would have been like, but you didn't cook anything, you know, and just like see what would happen. I'm like, ooh, someone do it. Like make a tuna crudo or I was hoping.
Yes.
Because I would have really wanted to at that point.
Grant, this is a part of the show that I don't think that a lot of people understand. And I was curious to ask you about this. He gets a little emotional that he's missing all of his family. And at the heart of it, you know, all of you have family. And I think because it's not Big Brother, right, where you know that the person is trapped in a house and doesn't have outside contact, you could assume at MasterChef that you might be allowed to make calls and talk to your family and all that stuff. But you're not allowed to do that, right?
No, you are not allowed to do that. I do think the rules might have been different for this season, that they might be starting to loosen up. I think these people might have actually had access to their cell phones. Which, like, in my case, we did not. We got off the airplane and our cell phones were taken from us. And we were not allowed to just, like, make phone calls. We had to have once a week, we could have a supervised phone call on, like, a legit, like, rotary phone. Right. So there was no, like, FaceTiming or seeing your kids and stuff. But also, at this point, they've been out there for probably 5.5, maybe almost 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Of not being there with their family, missing a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stress probably between, you know, like significant others of, you know,
life.
Yeah. Of life, you know, one's at home dealing with the finances and the kids and the daily life. And you're out there and you're stressed and
you're doing this thing. You're on this goal. You're on this show.
And they're sleep deprived.
Like the show's not on television.
Right.
You have no idea where you're going to be in the world, how it's going to look. You're just in it. So,
yeah, you're just in it. It's very, very, very stressful. I cannot even like, it's invigorating. It's, you know, there's so much like adrenaline that goes with it, but it's also so stressful and so taxing. The days are so long, 16-hour days every day.
And then I thought about Jennifer, who has 6 kids and what that must have been like for her, you know, but Grant is an emotional dude. And I really enjoyed the touching moment of seeing him talk about that. And next I'm gonna say Bryn is making a dish for her husband, which is another thing I love about Bryn, that she would choose to use inspiration for someone that she truly cares about. And I was thinking that at this point in the competition they must be feeling that longing and missing. So Grant's talking about missing it, Bryn's making a dish for her husband. You know, this is the kind of stuff that the show needs, and it's sort of like the heartstrings, a reminder of who I'm doing this for. Why am I in this competition?
Yeah, this is the point in the competition when it really starts to wear on you. Like, you've been in it for quite a while, but you're not at the finish line yet.
Right.
So there's still quite a ways to go. It's not like, oh, we're at top five and we're almost there. They still have a long way to go. And so you're kind of just stuck in this, like, what am I doing this for? Why am I here? And you're just longing for some sort of like connection with anybody besides the people you've been hanging out with for the last 6 weeks.
Right.
So it's tough. When I was there, I
mean, it was COVID too.
Next episode. Yeah. Huh?
Oh, I mean, when you were a competitor, you know, it was COVID, like, also. So you were dealing with a lot of other bigger stresses outside of.
Oh, yeah. That was a whole different like ball game. But even when I was there judging, we can talk about this next podcast, but they kept saying, you like really try to, you know, hype them up because they're struggling. Like, they're starting to mentally get worn down by the competition.
The thing is like, so, I mean, with Bryn, like, doing that and making that John Dory and being inspired to do a dish for her husband, I was just like, she's good. Like, she knows what she's doing. She's proving herself every step of the way in this competition. And I thought it was awesome that she was doing that. Lizzie says that she's familiar with fish because she's from Alaska, but not red snapper.
Right.
And Joe, again, he must have had an incident at a restaurant where the saffron was over the top, because this is now the second
coming up again.
Once it was metallic, now he uses another thing. So this experience, one time, someone put too much saffron in Joe's dish and he felt it was metallic and this other thing. And he's just going to be talking about it for the rest of the
And I feel like we haven't heard this like in other seasons when people have used saffron.
It happened just recently?
It must have just happened recently at some restaurant in LA. He just had a bad experience.
Can you imagine the meltdown when Joe was sitting at some restaurant and there was too much saffron in it?
Oh my gosh. He just blow up, you know.
Must have been the fucking, you know, because he's like
that
me.
That poor server. Oh my gosh.
Cursing, you know. Metallic, fucking metallic.
I know. Now we know not to serve him. You do have to know your judges. I'm going to bring up another cooking show, even though I shouldn't.
What is it?
But it's like Tom Colicchio hates okra.
I don't know who that is. He's not on MasterChef.
Oh, are you? You're just being funny. Okay. Yes. I was like, excuse me?
I've never heard of that. I've never heard of who that is.
No. Yeah. No. Some other person. Cool. Not important. But
I've never heard of that show or that channel or
oh my gosh,
this other judge. All right, a lot to go over here still. Wayne has an interesting week. Wayne is usually very confident, but he says that the MasterChef kitchen is a very humbling kitchen, and he wants to learn as much as he can. And I feel this is one of the things I really like about Wayne. That
was a great exchange.
A great moment for him, mm-hmm. that he isn't overconfident. Yes, last week we said he was yelling and at Reagan and trying to get things done. I think that's hard when you're type A to not know how to do that, you know, to like do it any other way.
Right.
But it felt very genuine
too.
It did. It really did. Yeah. And I felt like he would do good this week. So
I was hoping so. He went very, I don't want to say like traditional with the catfish, but fairly traditional with the blackening and the Cajun, you know. He was Ron told me that they eat this, so I'm going to do what he does.
But that's also
just joking.
Because
just
of like Grant doing something out of the box that's going nowhere quick.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, like, I mean, like, it is catfish. Like,
I always do.
There are certain things you should use it for.
Yeah.
They harp on it all the time. Like, don't try to do something weird with it.
Like, you know, the judges come up to Grant and they're giving him the look of like, why are you doing all this? And I'm sure Grant is like, I should change direction. Fuck, what am I thinking? But you're 20 minutes or whatever it is into the cook and it's like, I cannot change direction. I have to stick in this direction because you can't go back into the pantry. This stock is already being made. You know, like, what could he really do to change the course?
Well, he can go back into the pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And two, yeah, I guess not necessarily change course, but edit.
Sure.
Like, I would have definitely just like, okay, we're just going to focus on one component of the fish here. Like, stick with just the pate if you're going to do that.
Right.
like, and make it really like, you know, like a, almost like a, not a canapé, but I mean, there's so many things you could do with some grilled bread and some interesting stuff there. You could really highlight it in a cool, unique way while still highlighting the fish. So just pick one of them.
Totally. So we're getting to the end of this. And then Lizzie does seem, and I, we love Lizzie, but she's all over the place here, Lizzie. Lizzie is starting to unravel.
I think so. Yeah, I think, you know,
I think the level of competition is heating up. And unfortunately, from a cooking perspective, and the gameplay, Lizzie is unfortunately at the bottom of this.
Yeah, and I think we've seen it throughout the competition. It's just she's been able to stay around through it. I think we've seen some of that, like with that one chicken challenge.
Yes.
I think her brain works a little faster than like mm-hmm. she's able to actually execute.
That's
and
fair.
So she gets a lot of these, she has great ideas, but then in practice in a 60-minute clock, it just doesn't come together and it's not composed enough. You know, there's just so many ideas that are just random. And then
this week where she didn't cook out the wine?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. I'm like, guys, you gotta cook. I mean, we already addressed it once in the season. You have to cook. I don't, again, these are like simple mistakes.
We did address it once a season. Was this the week where she needed help opening a bottle of wine? Did I make that up?
Yes, that was this season or this episode, which is really cute.
Yeah. Okay, but why has she never opened a bottle of wine?
I don't know. It's a great question. Maybe she doesn't drink.
Have you opened a bottle of wine?
Me?
You. Yeah.
No. That's
you're probably opening one as soon as you get out of the conference.
I was gonna say, I mean, did I already, it's, you know, it's 11 o'clock. Have I already opened one? Maybe. No, I'm just joking. I have not, but.
No, I understand.
Yes, I've opened many.
It just felt like odd.
Yes.
I would love to know from Lizzie why that timing is. Lizzie,
especially, she's a mom. No, she's a mother.
I mean, like, you know what?
She's got kids.
Just turned 21. Like, why has she never opened a bottle of wine? I'm just, right. I would love to know that.
Maybe she's only used one of the fancy, like, rabbit things.
Oh. That's very fair. That's mm-hmm. a very good, yeah.
Not many people,
I don't have a fancy rabbit thing, but I know what you mean.
Oh, see, I don't have a regular wine opener in my house. I only have a fancy thing.
That sounds about right.
Thanks. Glad I come across that way in my sport coat today.
Yeah. Well, you're in the sport coat. I saw the shoes. You know, this is
right. It is actually very, it's on brand for me today, have that. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the top three.
Yep. Let's do it.
Wayne.
Yes. Wayne gets called up. I think he was surprised.
I was surprised, but I wasn't. It looked like a good dish. I was surprised only because of his hatred of catfish that he would be there.
Wayne's
social media? He has all these really cool t-shirts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I mean, he has one called...
You're a big t-shirt guy.
Super spicy or something. Like, I don't remember all the specific names, but like, I am a big t-shirt guy. But they're all so cool. Like, they're all, like, food-oriented, like, sort of slogans and thoughts.
Oh, the Need Salt one is cool.
Need
Extra
Salt.
Spicy.
Yeah. I don't know how to
this
tell you how to
This is the way with a cast iron.
Let me see. Does it say?
He is 60-minute chef on Instagram. Oh, he actually tags the shirt company.
It's very, very cool. So follow him on Instagram. Look at all these cool shirts. And because we just plugged it, Wayne, send one to me and send one to Kelsey.
Right. Yeah, kitchenvibes.us is the company that has the food.
I love it. I love this idea. I'm also a big restaurant t-shirt collector. So I love...
I'll send you one of mine.
Oh, that would be so awesome for real.
Yeah.
I just get so excited.
Yeah, I'll send you one of mine. I'm getting new ones made so they're better quality. So when they get in, I'll send you one.
You know what? Can I just tell you, that is the most common thing that most restaurant chefs people say when I ask them for a shirt. They say they're going to send me one. There's a whole fucking kit and caboodle that goes along with it that you just did. I'm getting new ones made and I'll send them to you once I get the new. Okay.
I promise.
Wayne does get through. I'm sorry, you were going to make a point about the catfish. I cut you off.
Thanks. It's typical. I had to say it.
Sorry.
I don't remember. Oh, no. What I was going to say was that production is doing, or the editing team is doing a great job of keeping it pretty, like, behind this. Like, I wasn't sure who was going to be in the top.
Yes.
Usually I feel like I have a very strong idea of, like, who's going to be in the top.
I had no idea.
Some of the bottom. But the
I
top,
knew Lizzie. I knew Lizzie would be on the bottom. But outside of that, well, and maybe Grant. But I also thought Grant's dish could have turned around and maybe they would have wound up liking
right. it. Yeah. That's the thing. It's sometimes you're not sure if it's going to go one way or the other. So yeah. I was definitely kind of caught off guard. And I like that when I'm out, like, I don't know what's going to happen.
I also want to say, you know, you just made this comment about the edit. Like, I like the editing on MasterChef. Like, as a film person, like, I think they do a really good job of condensing and telling a longer story. Because
they get a lot of crap from viewers.
Well, I mean, even just
about it.
Viewers, how about the contestants? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, literally, we just had, you know, Jennifer explained some of the stuff that was cut out. And I understand what she's saying, and I get where she's going with that. But by the same token, I think that the editing team does a really great job of figuring out, like, I can't show the panic attack, or I can't do this thing. I have to move and get this episode cut. I mean, I'll talk about it in the next episode too, but because I was there, and so I have this perspective of seeing, like, what happened versus what was cut, and it's a very fairly accurate depiction of the things that went down.
Yeah, they do
at least
a great
the one
job.
I
mean, if you think about it, you've got a 60-minute cook and you've got 11 chefs.
Yeah,
you know, and so they've all got 60 minutes times 11, plus then you have the judging and all that, and that all has to get fit into basically a 42 minute episode. Like, there's a lot to cover,
plus all the interviews,
right?
You know, and all the thought
the
process.
Intro and
of that stuff. Yeah, I mean,
they've
they do
like
a really
15 minutes to, like, pack in like 8 hours.
I would
of
love
content.
To work a day on with the team, because it's so cool to see it, and they do such a good job. They're
for
really
you, especially being a director. I mean, that's
film person, it's really cool. Like, it's just like, I was so blown away by how hard everybody works.
It's a
cameras,
huge production.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, we just got off on a weird tangent, but yes.
No, well, it's just because it's important to while people are talking about their experience with the edit, and I understand that, and that's not by any means disregarding that. But I also know the experience of being an editor and having to make tough choices with something or somebody, you know? Some people don't know how to edit themselves, and so that you're constantly working towards helping them do that. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, Colby is another top dish again. He looks really good. I mean, to me at this point now, Colby is even slowly showing up as a front runner. He's winning. He's making good dishes. He's got this harissa spiced halibut. Looks incredible.
Yeah, that dish, hands down for me, best dish I've seen this season.
Wow.
Hands down.
I think I take offense to that, because Bryn has put some really good plates together this season.
Of course you do. Yeah. I take no offense to you saying that. I'm like, that's fine. You can say that. It could have been a shit dish and you still would say it looked fantastic.
Okay.
But maybe. No, his dish looked so good. It looked like something I would put together, which is why I resonate with it. It's a dish that I could see myself doing, and it looked perfect, honestly, to me.
There is that cool, confident, cocky Kelsey coming
I know it is there. I also take no offense to that. Bring it.
I know. And Kennedy, of course, is also in the in the top three.
He
as
was
well.
So smart. As soon as she, like, said what she was doing with the dish with the panzanella, I was like, oh, like, she's got this in the bag. Just again, her brain is her, like, smarts is what's getting her through this competition.
It's at the point where I can't see how she could possibly lose.
Yeah. Yeah. She's smart enough to get her way through any obstacle and any curveball that's just
thrown at her at all. And Sav, they tell Sav that her arrow didn't work because
Sav looked so mad.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to shoot an arrow like that, you need to, like, Grant shot the arrow at Jennifer. Whew, we're
well,
still
especially because then you know you have to go back to the hotel and like face them.
Yes.
And like live through it, and you're like, oh god, now they're gonna give me crap. Like I don't want to deal with this.
I don't even know that we talked much about Jennifer this episode, but I didn't see
she wasn't shown very much.
No, she wasn't really shown this much. So I'm sure her stuff was great. Now the let's hope. Okay, so
Wayne was given immunity. I thought it should have gone to Colby.
Okay. I was happy with Wayne getting it because I felt like Wayne would do some devious things, and I like that element of Wayne.
That's
and I
true.
Knew that he would fuck around next week with whatever magical power or advantage that he was given.
Magical power.
Yeah, the bottom three. Grant.
Yeah, Grant gets called up. He's having a rough go.
Like last week I was like, Grant is front runner. This week I was like, no, I am not. I don't know what I'm talking about. Right. Grant overthinks.
The swings of this competition, just like it was, he way overthought it and just went again. When you overthink and then you try to edit it into something, it just doesn't make sense on the plate. You know,
Grant looked like he was very upset, like he was going to cry.
Well, I think we had seen already that he was emotional during the challenge. And obviously that was, it was just one of those days, I think, where he was just feeling all the feels. And then
and then
you realize you could go home, which and the whispers mixed feelings for.
And the whispers, you know, don't help any. The
whispers do not help.
When you're standing there in a Grant, mackerel,
fish, you know, mackerel. Fish.
You can only hear like a handful of comments.
Right. Yeah. It's
and none of them are good.
Yeah, he was definitely nice in guy. A mental there's, place today.
There's nothing like nice guy. You know, good
oh, right.
Idea, right?
Yeah. Good idea.
Nothing,
nice guy.
Nothing.
But...
none of that. Just all negative. And Lizzie is on the bottom as well. They say it looks unfinished. Joe says it tastes like a mimosa. Because
too
of
much
the,
wine.
Too much wine.
Too much wine. It was. It was just like a very, just like, it was like literally fruit and wine.
No creativity or imagination. Fruit salad on the plate. They really ran.
They really dug into her.
It was harsh. It was very harsh. Yeah. But I think it was all of those things.
Yeah. Again, I don't think they're never unfair or like they're very, these judges know what they're talking about.
I was actually surprised Lizzie didn't go this week. James is the
let's
third
talk about James because we didn't even talk about him much during the cook.
I didn't even know that, you know, I knew what he was doing, but they didn't really focus on him
that much. They didn't focus on him a lot. I thought that was very strange. Again, while he was a little surprised he was in the bottom.
Yes.
And ultimately then sent home. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What happened
He put the tomatoes on the plate.
Yes.
like a whole.
As soon as they showed that, I was like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, and
just
they said
three
that
if you're going to do that and have them roasted properly.
There was a lot of issues with his timing of different ingredients, and it was just done, and that's it. So then we get to the bottom, and they say that James is going home.
It's very, the like whole sending home thing is very anticlimactic this season.
It has been.
They just are very quick with it. And I've actually noticed this not just on MasterChef. I've noticed this on many just reality TV shows. They've done this with like American Idol and The Voice, like all these different reality TV shows. I think they're channeling the state that we're in of people want like instant knowledge. Like, you know, they watch and, you know, they lose their attention very quickly. I think they're kind of like leaning into that and just being like, oh, elimination's gone. All right, move on to the next thing.
Right. And I think one of the things that you lose from that is like the emotional connection that you would have to one of the competitors.
Right.
You know,
like
if you were like,
happened.
I'm a huge James fan, you would feel a little bit shortchanged. Like, fuck, I liked him. Like, and I did like James. Like, I think he's fucking hilarious. He's chill. He's got a good personality. You know, like, I don't know what anybody's food tastes like on the show. Next week, you will give us some insight into that because what we were saying is that it shows up for the preview for next week that Chef Kelsey Murphy is going to be one of the judges.
Who's that?
Was that cool
She's
to see
cute.
yourself in the promo?
Very cool. I was finally, I hated being the second episode because I like, you don't get the promo until like the week of.
Yeah.
You don't get like the beginning of the, you know, the whole week. But yes, I was so excited. Obviously, the time has finally come for my episode to air. I'm coming next week.
I thought they did a great job with the promo. Everybody looks super excited to see you there. So we'll talk about all of that really soon. Is there anything else that we didn't cover in the fish episode that you think we need to address?
I don't think so. It was a good episode. I liked it. It was very similar. We had a meat episode that was the same as this, where like we had a mystery box and we had a different, everyone had different cuts of meat. So I'm glad they did this. I think it was really fun. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, we're starting to weed through the peeps here. We're down to the top 10. All right. So yeah, we will move on to my episode next week, Elevated Stadium Food. So thank you all for tuning in to The Real Eats. We will see you in just a couple minutes over on the next episode.